Grand Canyon University, a private Christian university in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, believes that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. GCU believes in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams, offering over 330 academic programs as of September 2023. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
You can hear the horror.
Are they breathing?
No, ma'am.
Just a brutal way to go.
A mother and son.
Who did it? Who killed Paul and Maggie Murdoch?
A teenage friend.
This terrible boat accident.
It took a week combing the waters, looking for her.
A young nursing student.
At first, we were told he was shot. So how do you go from a gunshot to a hit and run?
A devoted housekeeper.
What were you told about what had happened?
Just that they thought she had a head injury.
Something's really wrong here.
You're gonna see more skeletons come out of these closets.
Betrayal, theft, power. It has all the deadly sins.
Here's Craig Melvin with Murdoch, Power, Privilege, and Scandal.
These are strange days in the South Carolina Lowcountry.
It's crazy. I've never seen anything like it.
There have been unsolved murders and accidental deaths. Hard to solve and even harder to understand.
You're talking five bodies in a six-year period of time.
Add to that embezzlement, allegations of insurance fraud, and the very public unraveling of the scion of one of the region's most powerful families, Alec Murdoch.
The fall from grace was fast and certain in Alec's case.
The story has drawn reporters from across the country to this beautiful, usually quiet coastal region. And the breathless coverage about power, corruption, and betrayal has been worthy of a Southern Gothic novel.
It's from Faulkner, it's from Shakespeare, it's from Grisham, and I think it really is some element of all three.
But behind the sensational headlines and purple prose, there are other families suffering heartbreaking losses.
It hurts down to the soul.
Sometimes the sad memories come and then you just cry and cry and cry.
This is a living, ongoing nightmare for the people who live here. The people that live here want life to return to normal.
A return to normal? With a slew of ongoing investigations, criminal charges, and lawsuits, that doesn't seem likely anytime soon. Not here. Not with this story. Everybody in Hampton, South Carolina, seems to know Alec Murdoch, a fourth-generation lawyer who had a thriving practice, a member of a century-old legal dynasty.
This is a very colorful, very interesting family.
Michael DeWitt is the editor of the Hampton County Guardian, part of the Gannett USA Today network.
If you walk down the street and talk to five people, at least three people are going to tell you that they know the Murdochs.
Alec Murdoch was a husband and a father of two sons, who seemed to be living the good life. Seemed to be.
911 with your emergency.
Alec Murdoch.
The world's introduction to Alec Murdoch came this past June in a desperate and terrifying 911 call.
I need the police to stand up immediately. My wife and child got badly. Please hurry.
The call came in at 10:07 p.m. Murdoch was calling from his family's 1,700-acre home in the country.
Are they breathing?
No, ma'am.
Are they in a vehicle?
No, ma'am. They're on the ground.
Do you see anyone in the area?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Did you hear anything, or did you come home and find them?
No, ma'am. I've been gone. I just came back.
Police arrived to a dreadful scene. Alec Murdoch's 52-year-old wife, Maggie, and 22-year-old son Paul were dead. Sheriff's deputies secured the property and agents from SLED, the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, started processing the crime scene.
It was a confusing crime scene, honestly. And it involved the most powerful family in town.
Wall Street Journal reporter Valerie Borlein has written extensively about the Murdoch story.
Paul had been shot at close range with a shotgun, which is just a brutal, brutal way to go. Maggie was shot with an automatic weapon multiple times and fell facing away from where Paul was, as if she was running away from something.
What did the police find? What did they recover there?
They found shell casings from a particular type of weapon. It's an AR-type rifle. There is a gun of that type that belongs to the Murdoch family that has not been recovered or turned over. And investigators, I'm told, would really like to find that gun.
Investigators continued their work at the compound in the days following the murders. But SLED put a tight lid on things.
They have not released a suspect's sketch, have not done any press conferences. That's very unusual in such a high-profile case.
4 days after the murders, Alec Murdoch buried his wife and son. The sadness of the moment was compounded by the stark reality that no one had been arrested, no suspect had been named, and justice for Maggie and Paul might not be coming anytime soon.
Alec Murdoch has lost two members of his family. Heartbreaking double homicide, and it's a mystery.
And with each new twist of the investigation in the days to come, that mystery would only deepen in ways no one could have imagined.
When we come back, who could be behind this?
They've said, no danger to the public, but no information about who might have been involved.
Speculation swirls with Alec at the center.
Clearly, he is distraught about their death.
But he did not murder them. Dick, he didn't murder them. Does he perhaps know who did and why?
I don't think he does.
This is such a wild story. The unsolved double murder of a prominent attorney's wife and son is making new headlines.
This wasn't supposed to happen. Not here on a secluded estate in the South Carolina Lowcountry of all places. And certainly not to them, the powerful and prominent Murdoch family. For more than a century, the Murdochs have been like royalty here. A multi-generational dynasty that has controlled much of the area's legal system. It all started back in 1910 with Alec's great-grandfather, Randolph Murdoch I.
He started a law firm that has become a giant here in South Carolina. Over the generations, this mystique, this family dynasty and family history has built up.
Randolph was also appointed solicitor or prosecuting attorney for a five-county area in South Carolina. A powerful position he held for 20 years before his son succeeded him, who was then followed by his son. Three generations of Murdochs who wielded enormous power and influence across the region.
Power, it's a complicated thing with the Murdochs. They knew all the judges. They knew all the lawyers. They worked closely with law enforcement. But it was also this connection with people.
At the same time, the Murdoch family also ran their civil law firm out of this stately red brick building. It specialized in personal injury lawsuits, often winning big settlements for their clients.
Jurors in Hampton County are known as Hampton Jurors. They awarded significant settlements that are much higher than what you would find one county over.
Those legal victories also produced big profits for the firm. But for all their wealth and power, the Murdoch family didn't isolate themselves from the locals.
You can never describe them as a normal small-town family, but they are a very relatable family. Many of them have done some good things and contribute to this community.
But by 2006, the Murdoch family's grip on the Lowcountry's legal system was changing, as Randolph III retired as solicitor.
and none of his children wanted to take on that role as an elected official. And there's no money in public service, okay? The money is in that law firm. So the dynasty was already coming to an end, partly because the good old boy way of doing things can't work anymore. It doesn't work.
But the Murdoch family law practice continued to thrive, and Alec carried on the family tradition by joining the firm as a staff attorney. He eventually became a partner and lived an affluent lifestyle with his wife, Maggie, and their two sons. But in the summer of 2021, his world of privilege and prestige was suddenly shattered by the brutal murder of his wife and son.
Paul and his mother, Maggie, were found shot to death. No arrests have been made. But there is so much more surrounding this story.
A lot more. Except the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, SLED, isn't divulging any details, except for one rather odd statement.
They've said, no danger to the public, but no information about who might have been involved.
But that statement from SLED did suggest the shootings weren't some random crime or a robbery gone wrong. As with many murders, the spouse is often scrutinized, and Alec Murdoch was no exception. His attorney, Jim Griffin, was quick to respond by talking to local media outlet Fox Carolina earlier this month.
SLED has said from the get-go that Alec was a person of interest. You would have think they would have come up with something to link Alec to the murders. And to my knowledge, they've not done that.
As news of the murders ricocheted from Little Hampton County across the country, speculation swirled. It was reported Alec's wife, Maggie, had recently seen a divorce attorney. Was there trouble in the marriage?
Joining us now exclusively is...
No way, Murdoch's other attorney, Dick Harpootlian, told me last month on the Today Show.
Clearly, he is distraught about their deaths.
But did he murder them? Dick, he didn't murder them. Does he perhaps know who did and why?
I don't think he does.
In the days following the shooting, folks in Hampton County struggled to make sense of it all.
It's just a bunch of craziness. Nobody knows what's going on.
Speculation is running wild in all directions about what might have happened.
And Alec Murdoch remained in the center of all that speculation. He was a husband, a father, an attorney. How could he be a person of interest in the murder of his very own family? It didn't make sense, except there was yet another deadly crime in the Murdochs' past. And this one involved the very same son who had just been shot and killed.
Coming up.
We're in a boat crash on Arthur Creek. There's six of us and one is missing.
A dangerous accident on a boat. A friend suddenly lost in the water.
At the last second, I screamed.
When Dateline continues.
It was almost the perfect crime. Everyone was distracted, their attention elsewhere. Stacks of cold, hard cash sitting on the table, unguarded. Who wouldn't be tempted to slowly reach their hand out and steal a pile of Monopoly money from the banker? Monopoly is one of those games that could bring out everyone's most devious selves, and Monopoly Go takes that gleeful mischievousness to your phone in a wildly popular twist on the classic that you can play throughout your day, anywhere, anytime. Collect rent from friends on iconic properties. Bankrupt them by pulling a heist on their vaults. And Monopoly Go has timed tournaments where you can team up with friends to unlock big prizes and try to top the leaderboards. Whether you're helping out your friends or going head-to-head for riches, Monopoly Go is an absolute blast. Download it now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Alec Murdoch's world was slowly unraveling piece by piece, and now troubling stories and accusations from his past were being looked at in a whole new light.
Questions still surround the death of a 19-year-old girl thrown from a boat.
February 24th, 2019 was really the turning point for the family. I think that is just demonstrably true.
Wall Street Journal national reporter Valerie Borlein.
Paul, the younger Murdoch son, went out on the family boat with some friends.
Three young couples, all under the age of 21. Paul and his girlfriend Morgan, Connor and Miley, and Anthony and Mallory.
The plan was to go to an oyster roast and hang out there for a while.
But 8 hours later, the boat was wrecked. Three teenagers were hurt, two were in the river, and one, 19-year-old Mallory Beach, was missing.
She's in the water.
Can you see her?
No, we can't. She's missing.
Search and rescue teams looked desperately for Mallory, while investigators focused on retracing the group's steps to figure out what happened. 20-year-old Miley Altman was Mallory's best friend and talked to investigators the next day.
What time did y'all meet and get in the boat?
It was like 6-ish.
They asked about the alcohol they knew was on the boat.
Where'd that come from?
It came from everybody pretty much.
Security footage shows Paul going to this Parker's convenience store, where he used his older brother's driver's license and mother's credit card to buy $50 of alcohol.
Do we know how long they stayed at the Oyster Roast?
I think they were around at the Oyster Roast around, 4 or 5 hours.
By midnight, they were ready to leave. But instead of driving the boat straight home, Paul insisted on going to a bar.
The boat did not have, running lights, so some of the kids would take turns, holding a flashlight.
At Buford Waterfront, Paul and Connor went to Luther's Bar and ordered two rounds of shots while the others waited outdoors at swings. 20 minutes later, everyone was back on the boat. Some told investigators that Paul was out of control, but still at the wheel.
He was very, very drunk. He was yelling at everybody. He was so out of control, other kids were trying to drive.
The next thing Miley remembered was looking up from her front seat in utter terror.
I saw the bridge coming, and I was just kind of it looked like we were about to hit it, and I was in shock. I couldn't yell or anything, and then at the last second, I screamed.
But it was too late. The boat crashed straight into the wood pilings underneath Archer's Creek Bridge. Three people were still in the boat, but three were thrown into the water. Paul, Anthony, and Mallory.
Anthony was all the way over there, where we had hit. And Paul was on the closest piling to the shore.
Paul and Anthony were able to swim to land, but no one could see or hear Mallory. It was Connor who called 911.
Police, fire, ambulance. Hello?
We're in a boat crash on Arthur Creek. There's six of us and one is missing.
Within minutes, law enforcement, EMS, fire department, and Coast Guard were all dispatched to the scene. On dash cam video posted to YouTube by Fitz News, Anthony was clearly distraught as law enforcement searched for his girlfriend, a woman he one day planned to marry.
Is anybody in the water looking for
him? Yes, fire department's got their boats in the water.
But you could also hear his rage toward Paul.
Get right there away from me.
Most of the group was taken to the hospital where Connor was treated for a broken jaw, seated in a wheelchair waiting for x-rays, and that's when Paul's father, Alec Murdoch, arrived in the ER, ostensibly to see his son. But he allegedly approached Connor with some pointed advice.
What did he say to Connor?
Keep his mouth shut.
Joe McCullough is the attorney for Connor Cook and his family.
So he asked Connor to not participate, not cooperate with the investigation.
Something to the effect that just don't talk to the police, we're going to take care of things.
It's not clear if anyone else heard the alleged conversation between Connor and Alec Murdoch, but Murdoch most definitely recommended Connor's first attorney to his family.
A lawyer he knew by the name of Corey Fleming.
And that was a serious conflict of interest because Corey Fleming was one of Murdoch's closest friends and Paul's godfather.
that was apparently not revealed to the cooks.
Connor made the allegations against Murdoch in a lawsuit later filed by his attorney. Meanwhile, Mallory's boyfriend, Anthony, was talking to investigators. Patrick Carr is his attorney.
What did Anthony tell investigators about the cause of the boat accident?
He was very upset with Paul that night because he knew when he came out of that water that Mallory was lost and that Paul had caused a horrific tragedy.
A week later, Mallory Beach's body was found 5 miles from the accident site. Paul never talked to investigators, but 2 months later, he was arrested and charged with 2 counts of boating under the influence and causing bodily injury, and 1 count of boating under the influence causing death. And now, 2 years later, he was dead alongside his mother. And many were wondering, did the boat crash have anything to do with the murders?
Either of you, on any level, do you think that the double murders are connected at all to the boat crash?
I have no reason to say that.
All of the attendant publicity resulting from the boat accident and everything else that transpired may have stimulated someone to do this crazy, terrible double murder.
But the question everyone would soon be asking, did the escalating scandals involving Alec Murdoch finally push him over the edge?
Coming up.
They shot me. I'm bleeding a lot.
Alec Murdoch, shot by the side of the road.
You took the gun.
Shoved it behind him.
The gun went off.
A hairpin turn in the case. It's just around the corner.
My wife and child just got badly.
It had been 3 months since Alec Murdoch made that harrowing 911 call about the murders of Maggie and Paul. When suddenly, there was a new, bizarre turn in the saga. It was early September and Alec Murdoch was making another frantic call to 911.
Okay, what's going on?
I got a flat tire.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped and somebody stopped to help me. And when I turned my back, they tried to shoot me.
Murdoch said he was on this rural stretch of old Salcahatchie Road in Hampton County when someone tried to kill him.
Did they actually shoot you or they tried to shoot you?
They shot me. I'm bleeding a lot.
What part of your body?
I'm not sure. Somewhere on my head.
Alec was parked on the side of the road, and he said that he had a flat tire and was changing it, and someone came by and shot at him, tried to kill him.
But right away, there were some red flags with Murdoch's story, like the fact his SUV could drive with a flat.
The Mercedes-Benz that he was driving, you know, had state-of-the-art technology, including run flat tires.
Then there was the hospital's medical report, which was later made public, that described Murdoch's gunshot wound as superficial.
So it's very weird. Just very weird from the get-go.
2 days later, perhaps an explanation for why things had gotten weird, Murdoch released a statement saying he was, quote, entering rehab after a long battle that has been exacerbated by these murders. It later came out Alec said he had been addicted to opioids. Hampton newspaper editor Michael DeWitt.
Alex Murdoch's alleged 20-year opioid addiction was apparently news to everybody, including his partners at the law firm and his family.
He also said he was resigning from that law firm his great-grandfather started more than 100 years ago. But as with so many things involving Alec Murdoch, there was more to this story.
He was called into the law firm. His partners had discovered a whole bunch of missing money.
In a statement, the firm said it was suing Alec to recover money he stole from the firm and its clients. No one has publicly said how much, but the New York Times reported it's in the millions.
Maybe he's thinking, I'm about to lose everything. Got one child left. I want to do something to make sure at least that my one child has something.
According to investigators, that something was to try and make Murdoch's only living child, Buster, the beneficiary of his multi-million dollar life insurance policy. To do that, he came up with a desperate doomsday plan. Murdoch would have someone kill him.
He allegedly hatched this scheme to have himself done in, get a $10 million life insurance settlement to give to Buster.
12 days after that roadside incident, Murdoch was arrested for insurance fraud. Murdoch told investigators he asked this man, Curtis Eddie Smith, to kill him. Smith was also arrested on charges including conspiracy to commit insurance fraud and assisted suicide.
What's the past month or two been like for you?
Stressful.
After he was released from jail on a $20,000 bond, I sat down with the 61-year-old and his attorney, Johnny McCoy.
I want a real will.
Smith insists he's innocent and didn't know anything about Murdoch's insurance scheme.
What was the relationship like between the two of you?
Pretty much just like, you know, attorney-client for a while.
He was your lawyer?
Yes.
Murdoch represented Smith for an accident claim, but they're actually also distant cousins, and Smith started doing odd jobs for Murdoch. So, Smith said, when Murdoch called him that day in September and asked him to meet him on Old Salkehatchee Road, he didn't think anything of it until Alec told him why.
He said, I need you to shoot me in the back of the head. I said, it ain't happening. I love you like a brother, it ain't happening.
So when he asked you to shoot him in the back of the head, he didn't say why.
Just that he didn't need to be around here anymore. The bus would be better off if he wasn't here.
Smith said Murdoch then pulled out his own gun.
He said, you gonna shoot me? I said, no. He said, well, you just got to do it. And he made his move like this, you know. And I just grabbed his arm.
You took the gun.
I shoved it behind him, between me and him. It went off.
The gun went off. Did it hit him? Did the bullet hit him?
No. There's no blood on me. There's no blood on him.
He didn't get shot in the head?
No.
What percent are you positive that he didn't get shot?
1,000. I just took the gun in the truck. I hauled ass. I went home.
You drove off?
I went home. Yeah. If I'd have shot him, he'd have been dead. He's alive.
You did nothing wrong?
Yeah.
Murdoch's attorney, Dick Harpootlian, maintained Curtis Eddie Smith did shoot Murdoch, which caused a skull fracture and brain bleed, as described in that same hospital report.
No.
Not only that, Harpootlian says Smith also sold Murdoch drugs.
Who is Curtis to Alex?
Drug dealer.
How long was he a drug dealer?
A decade or more.
So this is a question a lot of folks have been asking. It's a very simple question. Did you ever sell Alec Murdoch drugs?
No.
But the question remained. What else was Alec Murdoch trying to escape in that desperate act on that lonely highway? Perhaps the answers were much closer to home.
Dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the best-selling true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge premieres April 17th, streaming only on Hulu.
Did you study a language in school that you no longer remember well? Pick it back up with the most trusted language learning app out there, Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone's immersive lessons help you learn intuitively. You're trained to listen, speak, read, and write, and think in your chosen language. Plus, their true accent feature even provides feedback on your pronunciation. With the Rosetta Stone app, you can learn anytime, anywhere. Make progress with lessons you can customize and that are as short as 10 minutes. It's no wonder Rosetta Stone is used by millions of people. For a very limited time, Dateline listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/dateline. That's rosettastone.com/dateline.
After his bizarre alleged killer-for-hire roadside suicide attempt, Alec Murdoch checked himself into a Florida rehab clinic. He said he'd been hooked on opioids for 20 years and needed to get clean. And upon his release on the 14th of October, it happened again. For the second time in a month, Murdoch was arrested. But not for the staged suicide attempt, or the embezzlement, or the double murder, or anything connected to the boat crash. Nope. It was for a completely different, painful chapter of this saga. The betrayal of the family of a woman who served the Murdoch family for years as a housekeeper and babysitter, Gloria Satterfield.
She worked hard at what she did, and she loved what she did. She took honor in the job that she did.
Gloria's three siblings and two sons said for the whole extended clan, family was a bedrock.
And you be there for the family members, and you support them in every way. And Gloria is missed tremendously.
That sense of family, said Sister Ginger, extended to the Murdoch children.
That's what they were to her, and that's how much she loved them. She treated them just like her kids, like her boys.
And why not? Little Hampton County is seeded with families that have been here for generations. Doesn't matter if you're a churchgoer or bar hopper, live in a single wide or a gated estate, lives here are as interwoven as if they were characters in a Pat Conroy novel.
Did any of you get to know the Murdochs personally?
Yes. I went to school with Alec. Him and I are the same age.
Our kids and Alex's kids play ball together.
I mean, we thought of them as an extended family also because Gloria did.
Which is where the relationship stood between these two families when, on the 2nd of February 2018, Gloria fell down the front steps of the Murdoch home.
What were you told about what had happened?
Just that she had fell, that she was tripped by the dogs, and that they thought she had a head injury because they saw blood. And that was about it until we got to the hospital. And then they said that there was some head injury and that they didn't know the extent of it, that they would run some tests.
I tried to get her to smile, laugh, or something like that, and she just would just look at me like, you know, who are you? And I said...
Gloria languished in ICU for 21 days. Ginger will always remember the last one.
And it was about time for me to leave that day, so I just said, Gloria, I'll be back tomorrow. And I love you. And she told me, love you too. And that's the last word I heard her say.
2 days later at the funeral, Gloria's son Tony said Alec Murdoch told him he accepted all responsibility and would make sure Tony and his brother Brian got an insurance settlement for their mother's death.
That he would, you know, take care of us and stuff and kind of look out for us.
Did you believe him?
Yeah, of course. Why wouldn't I?
Murdoch suggested the boys retain Corey Fleming as their lawyer. Remember him? That's the same attorney Murdoch told Connor Cook's family to hire after Mallory Beach's death. But no settlement came their way. Nothing seemed to be happening. 3 years went by.
And I says, you know, something's fishy about this thing. And I said, I just don't think these boys are going to get what they deserve, what's, you know, due to them.
Last June, Eric read an article about Paul and Maggie's murder that mentioned a settlement in Gloria's case for $500,000. That was news to him. So the Satterfields hired their own lawyers to find out just where the heck the money went.
How much money did the family get after Gloria died?
0.0.
Not a dime.
Not a dime.
The first thing attorneys Eric Bland and Ronnie Richter did was send Corey Fleming a letter asking where the money went. When he didn't respond, they sued him, Alec, and a local banker. That did get a response.
He told us that there was a settlement, but everything can be explained.
But could it? Through their own investigation, Bland and Richter discovered Gloria's insurance settlement was actually in the millions.
We would get leads to say, guys, it's not 505, it's more. It's a million, it's two, it's four.
The real confirmatory information came when we subpoenaed Corey Fleming's bank account and we saw all the checks. And that's when the confirmation came of the 4.3 million.
Where did all the money go?
We're still tracing where the money actually landed, but it is impossible to burn that kind of money in Hampton, South Carolina.
Last month, SLED announced they had opened a criminal investigation into the death of Gloria Satterfield. A few weeks after that, Bland and Richter issued a press release stating, Corey Fleming and his law firm reached a settlement with the estate of Gloria Satterfield. 10 days later, Corey Fleming's law license was suspended.
The argument could be made that none of that would have happened had it not been for the two of you.
I mean, I like that argument. I hope that we were instrumental in causing people to take a harder look, to take a deeper dive on this thing.
The Satterfield-Harriet family said they're thankful Gloria's life and death are finally being taken seriously.
And you know now, it ain't about the money.
It's not.
It ain't about the money.
What's it about?
It's like she's a nobody. As much as she done for them.
But what the family is too gracious to say is that some money is needed for Brian, who they describe as a vulnerable adult.
Brian, how you been holding up? You miss Mom. I know. I saw your family praying before we started our conversation. What were you asking God for?
To give us guidance.
Guidance.
Strength.
In that spirit, this family says they have forgiven Alec Murdoch, even though they feel he treated Gloria as if her life had no spiritual value, only financial.
Did he have that going through his mind that day when we buried Gloria and thinking, oh, how much money am I going to get? How can I get this?
Do you think he planned to keep the money from the beginning?
Why would we not think that?
Coming up, mysterious death number 5.
At first we were told he was shot. So how do you go from a gunshot to a hit and run?
Alec Murdoch had been arrested in Florida and was extradited back to South Carolina, where he remains in jail, accused of taking money from the Satterfield family. Meanwhile, law enforcement wasn't saying much about the investigation into the murders of his wife and son. But one thing they did say has raised questions about one more mysterious death potentially connected to the Murdoch family.
Hampton County 911, where's your emergency?
Hello, I just going down to Crockettville Road. I see somebody laying out.
It was July 8th, 2015, 6 years before the murders of Maggie and Paul, and 3 years before Gloria Satterfield's death. A man was on his way to work at 4 a.m. when he noticed a person laying in the middle of a country road.
He laid in the road. I ain't moving or nothing like that, but somebody going to hit him.
When an officer responded to Sandy Run Road, there it was, a body, lifeless.
I heard on the radio that they had found a body in it. I was on my way to work.
Sandy Smith's son, Stephen, and his twin sister, Stephanie, lived nearby.
So I called Stephanie and made sure they were okay. And she said, did Stephen come to your house last night? And I said, no.
I was a little confused.
If he didn't come home, we knew.
Something was wrong.
Something was wrong.
A mother's intuition. Stephen Smith was 19 years old. Officers found his cell phone in his pocket and a car key. His 2007 yellow Chevy Aveo parked 3 miles away. The doors were locked, but the gas tank door was open with the gas cap hanging. Investigators could tell Stephen had injuries to his left arm, hand, and head. He also looked to have a hole in his skull above his right eye. Could that be a gunshot wound?
At first, we were told he was shot.
But the autopsy found no bullet, and the cause of death was determined to be blunt head trauma from being hit by a car.
It was so confusing because you were like, so how do you go from a gunshot to a hit and run?
Stephen was a nursing student with big dreams of becoming a doctor. He was also openly gay, and his family feared that may have had something to do with his death.
Did you know who he was hanging out with?
No. He started keeping all that a secret.
Shortly before he died?
Yes.
So what, if anything, do the Murdochs have to do with Stephen's death? In a surprise, a SLED spokesperson confirmed they were taking a fresh look into Stephen's case based on something they learned while investigating Maggie and Paul's murders.
In 6 years... officials, investigators, they haven't been able to figure out who did it and why.
Right.
Are you optimistic that this time it'll be different?
I think this time it will.
Why? What makes you think that?
The different investigators on the case. And the new eyes.
Lots of eyes looking everywhere now when it comes to Alec Murdoch.
Right now, you say the name Murdoch and the whole world has a bad taste in his mouth.
Alec is facing criminal charges in 2 cases and a slew of civil lawsuits, including a wrongful death suit against the Murdoch family on behalf of Mallory Beach's parents, a suit on behalf of boat accident survivor Connor Cook, and the Satterfield family suit against Alec Murdoch and the bank.
Every now and then, you see some good old-fashioned lying, cheating, and stealing. This is head and shoulders above anything we've ever seen before, and we've seen some pretty bad conduct.
In September, Alec granted power of attorney to his son Buster, seen here in a recent photo that was taken in Las Vegas, according to court filings. The civil attorneys who are suing the Murdochs say the family is selling or hiding its assets, listing a boat, selling off properties, and a hunting club membership. The allegations of betrayal and greed remain the focus of the legal drama playing out in Hampton County and beyond. But the families and the people who live here just want answers.
You're going to see more skeletons come out of these closets. Some of them we can prove, some of them we can't. Hampton County deserves answers, just like the rest of the world, just like the families of the victims that are involved. They want and need a resolution to this case. They want to find out who killed Maggie and Paul Murdoch.
That's all for this edition of Dateline. We'll see you again next Friday at 9, 8 Central. And of course, I'll see you each weeknight for NBC Nightly News. I'm Lester Holt for all of us at NBC News. Good night.
You ever meet someone who seems kind of off? Whether it's a creepy neighbor or random phone number that keeps calling you, Truthfinder has you covered. You can search for people by name, address, phone number, email, and more. Truthfinder can be especially helpful for running confidential background checks on anyone you're planning to meet from online dating apps. Go to truthfinder.com/podcasts for a special offer. That's truthfinder.com/podcasts to access your special offer today.